So we're preaching through the book of Exodus. Exodus is a shadow. Okay, so we follow a shadow and you get to the top. You follow this shadow, we did an illustration. You follow this shadow, if I follow this shadow, shadow. Woo! I get to the top. Okay? The top is the real thing is much better than the shadow. The whole book of Exodus is a shadow. It's pointing to something. And as we follow the shadow, boom, we eventually bump into Jesus. All right? And so we're getting to the end of the book of Exodus, and Adrian's going to end it next week. But I'm going to preach today on the robes of the high priest. And I want to tell you, the high priest is not represented on earth by the leader of a church. It's represented by Jesus alone. And I think what God has done over these 3 months is He has purposefully set me aside so that we can break a religious model in the city of Pretoria to say that it depends on a leader where the church goes. It depends on Jesus and Jesus alone. And we cannot replace that Jesus as a high priest with any person in any way with anything that Christ does. Because what happens, it eventually becomes too much for that person and they break. So Jesus is our high priest. So let's turn to Exodus 39. We're going to read a long portion of scripture and then we're going to make 4 illustrations. That's all. You're going to just remember 4 things. Sympathy, wholeness, clear conscience, and sat down. Those are the only things you're going to remember today. Okay, so let's go. Exodus 39. From the blue, purple, and scarlet yarn, they made woven garments for ministering in the sanctuary. You can put the picture up of the priest. Thanks. You know what? I looked through every place to find a high priest, and not one of the guys is smiling. It's like, geez. So I even searched happy high priest. I couldn't find one. They all look miserable. So just don't worry about what he looks like. I think Jesus is like a happy high priest. Say blue, purple, and scarlet. Okay, so the Bible, every word in the Bible counts. So blue, purple, and scarlet means something. If you build swimming pools, you don't build swimming pools blue. You build swimming pools white. But when you fill them with water, they reflect heaven and they become blue. So when you see blue in the Bible, and when it's cloudy, your pool is less blue, and when there's no clouds, your pool is very blue, because your pool reflects heaven. So blue is the color of heaven. Purple is the color of a king. Scarlet is the color of blood. So before they start to build the priest's robe, he says, this is going to be about heaven, this is going to be about a king, and this is going to be about blood, represented in his clothes. Okay? They made the ephod of gold and of blue and purple and scarlet yarn of finely twisted linen. They hammered out thin sheets of gold and cut strands to be worked into the blue, purple, and scarlet yarn and fine linen, the work of a skilled craftsman. They made shoulder pieces for the ephod, which were attached to 2 of its corners so it could be fastened. Its skillfully woven waistband was like it, of one piece with the ephod and made with gold, with blue, with purple and scarlet. Underline that and remember that our high priest is valuable, heavenly, kingly, and blood. And with finely twisted linen as the Lord commanded Moses. They mounted the onyx stones and gold filigree settings and engraved them like a seal with the names of the sons of Israel. Then they fastened them on the shoulder like this. They put them here as memorial stones for the sons of Israel as the Lord commanded Moses. They fashioned the breastpiece, the work of a skilled craftsman, and they made it like the ephod of gold and blue and purple and scarlet yarn of finely twisted linen. It was square, a span long and a span wide, and folded double. Why folded double? Well, gold is valuable. Double gold is double valuable. Remember, it's square, hey? Not rectangular. It's got the names of the sons of Israel. It's got your name on it. And it's square. So every one of us is equally distant from God. It's not rectangular. Some are not closer than others. Then they mounted 4 rows of precious stones on it. In the first row, there was a ruby, a topaz, and a beryl. In the second row, a turquoise, a sapphire, and an emerald. In the third row, a jacinth, an agate, and an amethyst. In the fourth row, a chrysolite, an onyx, and a jasper. And they were mounted in gold filigree settings. Not just one kind of a stone, all kinds of stones. Afrikaans stones and English stones and Portuguese stones and young stones and old stones and rich stones and black stones and unemployed stones and employed stones. God represents, everybody is represented on the breastplate of Christ. Everybody. Underline that and say, we're not trying to make one type of person in this church. We are trying to put everybody close to Christ. They were mounted on gold filigree settings. There were 12 stones, one for each of the names of the sons of Israel, each engraved like a seal with the name of the 12 tribes. For the breastplate, they made braided chains of pure gold like a rope. There were 2 gold filigree settings and 2 gold rings, and they fastened the rings to 2 of the corners and the breastplate. If you're listening to this on the internet, just get a picture of a happy priest so you understand this. They fastened, I mean, that priest looks like those bass guitarists. Have you ever seen a happy bass guitarist? It's amazing. Have you? I mean, you just don't get it, do you? It's just not, they're not meant to be happy, I don't think. They fastened the 2 gold chains to the rings at the corner of the breastplate and the other ends of the chains to the 2 settings, attaching them to the shoulder pieces of the ephod of the front. It's complicated. They made 2 gold rings and attached them to the other 2 corners of the breastplate on the inside, knitted to the next. Then they made 2 more gold rings and attached them to the bottom of the shoulder piece on the front of the ephod, close to the seam just above the waistband of the ephod. And they tied the rings of the breastplate to the rings of the ephod with blue cord, connecting it to the waistband so that the breastpiece would not swing out from the ephod. Let's have a look at it quickly. You see where it's tied there, the bottom? The blue thing, why is it tied? So that the breastplate would not swing out from the ephod. You know what happens when people go through difficult times? It's like those cords get untied and the breastplate swings out from the ephod. And so you think, God, I just don't feel close to you. No, you got to tie it down. You got to tie it down. With blue, with heaven. And they made the roll of the ephod entirely of blue cloth, the work of a weaver, with an opening at the center of the robe, with the opening of a collar, and a band around the opening so that it would not tear. And they made pomegranates of blue, purple, and scarlet yarn, and finely twisted linen around the hem of the robe. They made bells of pure gold and attached them around the hem between the pomegranates. The bells and the pomegranates alternated around the hem of the robe to be worn for ministering as the Lord commanded Moses. For Aaron and his sons, they made tunics of fine linen, the work of a weaver, and the turban of fine linen, the linen headbands of the undergarments of finely twisted linen, the sashes of finely twisted linen and blue, purple, and scarlet yarn, the work of an embroiderer, as the Lord commanded Moses. They made the plate, the sacred diadem, out of pure gold and engraved on it, like an inscription on a seal, holy to the Lord. Say holy to the Lord. Then they fastened a blue cord to it to attach it to the turban as the Lord commanded Moses. Let's quickly go through that, and then we're going to pick up a few scriptures in Hebrews and we'll be finished. The first question we ask is, why has he got a hat on his head? What I'm going to do is I'm going to test your hair to see if you've put any products in it today. How many of you have put products in your hair? Be honest, I don't know why you would put products in your hair, China. You haven't got any. But hair is very important. Yes? It's a conversation after church. My darling, you look beautiful. What are you using? L'Oreal and Gary Rom. I got the new 3-in-1. It does the roots and the tips and the color. It's true. And I see some of you as your hair gets thinner and grayer, you're pulling it from the back. More and more and more. And you're using pro to somehow. I don't know how Stephen does it, but he does it. I told you I'd be back in the pulpit, buddy. Is this? And then we've got that other group of guys who bring it from here over there. The Bible says, your hair is your glory. And the Bible says that Jesus had wavy black hair in the book of the Song of Solomon. And to put a turban over it meant to hide your greatest glory. And so our high priest is humbling himself by putting a turban over the thing that gives him glory. How do I know it? I'm a father of a 21-year-old who decided to grow his hair and drive me mad. But every kid wants to grow his hair, and every kid wants long locks, and eventually they grow out of it. And I just say to him, you coming my way, China. You've got my DNA. You can grow it as long as you like, but when you're 50, you can look like me. Gray, thin, and balding. And I want to tell you, ladies, you can put whatever product you like in your hair. It's going to go gray. But Jesus, the perfect man who had not one gray hair, put a turban around his head, and he put a mounting here that says, Holy to the Lord. Why here? Because the first thing we ever do when we meet someone, stand up, Sandy. The first thing we ever do when we meet someone is we look them in the eye. And when I look my high priest in the eye and I think, I'm not worthy to face you, on his forehead is written, Holy of Holies. Holy to the Lord. And when I face my high priest with all my insecurities, with all my failings, when I look into his eyes, number one, he's humble because his hair is covered. And number two, my designation is written on his forehead, Holy to the Lord. The shoulders, my nickname at school was Dickers, because I had big shoulders. And when a man carries a big load, or a woman, I sat yesterday on the aeroplane next to the dean of the Faculty of Education at UNISA, a tiny little lady like this. She employs over 2,000 people. She was one of the most remarkable women I've ever met. And we just chatted because there's a guy in this church who got me a seat 1A in the aeroplane, and she was sitting next to me, and we just chatted. I thought, this little tiny lady carries a serious load. She's got a serious pair of shoulders on her. Employs 2,000 people, looks after 120,000 students. She's got big shoulders. And where does Jesus carry me? On his shoulders. And then he carries me on his chest. And so what happens when the Son and the Father embrace? Stefan, if you're the Son and I'm the Father, why don't you stand? Why don't you stand? You're the Son and I'm the Father. And on your chest is Dirk and Marie and Zander and Luther and Sam and Anna Marie and Letitia. On your chest, close to your heart. And I'm the Father. And when I come and hug you, what gets between me and you is the people of God. So as the Father hugs the Son, you are between the Father and the Son. And as I was preparing this message, I thought, who was the most important woman for Jesus on earth? And I know he loved everybody, but who was the most important woman for him? It had to be his mother, because that's the one that he talked about on the cross. So as he's on the cross and he's about to die, he says to John, John, your mother, mother, your son. Who lay on Jesus' chest? John. Who did he entrust his mother to? Who's the most important woman in Jesus' life now? The church, the bride of Christ. Who is he going to entrust the bride of Christ to? He's going to entrust the bride of Christ to the one who lays upon his chest. Because when I lie on the chest of Jesus, I feel John, Mary, Anna Marie, Wendy, Jan, Piet, Billy. This is our high priest. This is our high priest. And I want to just have a last look before we look at something practical. I'll honor time. Around his garments are a combination of golden bells and pomegranates. Do yourself a favor and go and buy some pomegranates. And if you search pomegranate, you will realize it's good for, it's an antioxidant, it's good for cancer, against, it fights against cancer, it's one of the healthy products that sorts your stomach out. But the picture I get is just because they're together, is bells and pomegranates, bells and pomegranates. And if you cut a pomegranate, it's just full of seeds. And if we follow Jesus, there will be music and there will be fruit in our lives. And I am worried at what comes out of the mouth of Christians in this city. I am worried about it. Because I believe when we follow the high priest, we will produce golden bell music and we will produce pomegranate fruit that makes a loud noise of worship to the city and drops seeds everywhere. Amen? Yes. Remember, this is just a shadow. This is just a shadow. We're just following a shadow here. But eventually, we bump into the real Jesus, and you got to know those pomegranates are bigger than those ones. And those bells are bigger than those ones. Amen? Let's look at some application. Hebrews chapter 4. Are you with me? Yeah. Hebrews chapter 4. And Hebrews is complicated because there are two types of priests. There's a Levitical priesthood and there's a priesthood from Melchizedek, and Jesus is both. And we won't explain it now, but the Melchizedek priesthood is higher than the Levitical priesthood, but Jesus fulfills both of them. In Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 14, it says, therefore, since we have such a great high priest, say great high priest. Since we have such a great high priest who has gone through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith that we profess. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses. We do not have a high priest, that guy, who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses. Let me be vulnerable for a minute because we're building a family. I've probably had the weakest 3 months of my whole life. And God has used it in the most amazing way to fashion the future of this church. But it's been jolly difficult. And let me be brutally honest, because some of you are not. But people said, how was your hospital visit? I hit my coccyx on a bicycle 5 months ago in September last year. And my prostate swelled and my bladder swelled. And I got a urinary tract infection, which men aren't meant to get. For 5 months. And I used to go to the toilet. I used to cry. I'd say, oh, now we, in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Because for my whole life, I've always been able to control things. But for the first time in my life, there was a weakness that I could not deal with. And 5 sets of antibiotics. And the hospital that I landed up in, it wasn't just a nice hospital. It was a urinary hospital, and there was no room in the men's section. So they put me in the women's section of a urinary hospital with 5 women who had urinary issues. And I said to my wife, if I could die, I would die now. And it is quite funny, but when you look to the left, you think, what's wrong with you? What's wrong with you? And in that great weakness, I cried out to my high priest who could sympathize with the depth of my own embarrassment. Are you weak here today, sir? Are you weak here, ma'am? Weak enough to be honest, I am the most private person in the whole world. I don't share bedrooms with anyone. I don't share bathrooms with anyone. I have had urologists stick their fingers where I never want ever to be again. And in that place where I couldn't feel God, I thought God had left me. I had to hold on to Hebrews chapter 4. I have a great high priest who sympathizes with me in my weakness. You see, in Pretoria, we can get very tough. And we start to project an image of everything is all right. No, everything is all right because we've got a high priest that actually knows the depth of our own weakness. When I was sitting in a meeting in Johannesburg, my heart rate is 55. It went up to 127 in 15 seconds. And at that moment, my heart, my body just broke. And for 3 months, I've been trying to understand what it means to have a high priest who's humble enough to put something around his head, put my name on his forehead, carry me on his shoulders, keep my name close to his chest, and know if I follow him, I will produce fruit again, and there will be music again in my life. Because that's the great high priest that I have. Are you weak today, sir? Are you weak sexually? Are you weak with women? Are you weak with your mind? Ma'am, are you weak? Just follow the great high priest boldly into the throne room of grace. But we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet was without sin. Let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. This ministry has been placed upon leaders in the church, and leaders in the church won't survive. As I never did. I'm a strong guy with a strong constitution. I never get sick. And I buckled 3 months ago because ministry is not meant to depend on a man. And as we've seen this last season, we've seen, and I have to congratulate and thank the elders and the deacons of this church, as the load has spread, we've seen gifts come shooting through in the most amazing way, because the Bible says we are the priesthood of all believers following the high priest called Jesus. So let us not lose what God has done in 3 months. Don't say Rory's back. No, I will fulfill a role, but this role can only be fulfilled by Jesus. Amen. Number two, I've got 7 minutes. Number two, chapter 7. Now there have been many, verse 23, now there have been many of those priests since death prevented them from continuing in office. But because Jesus lives forever, say Jesus lives forever, he is a permanent priesthood. He is a permanent priesthood. Therefore, he is able to save completely. Say completely. If you've got an ESV, it says he is able to save to the uttermost those who come to God through him because he always lives to intercede for them. Such a high priest meets our need. One who is holy, blameless, pure, set apart from sinners, exalted above the heavens. He is able to save us completely. That means to the uttermost. Are you an adulterer? He is able to save you completely. There's a man who stood up in court this week who's been accused of murdering his wife, and he says she committed suicide, and he got up and he said, I am an adulterer, and my adultery has caused havoc all over. My children have died. My wife has committed suicide. My parents-in-law don't like me. And the Bible says if he will follow the great high priest, he is able to save him completely. He is able to get to the bottom of his darkness. He is able to get to the depths of his depravity. He's able to go all the way back to when you originally started sinning 30, 40, 50, 60 years ago. One of my best friends phoned me this week and he said, Rory, I've been living a lie financially for 20 years. I've completely deceived my wife. I'm in 3.5 million rand debt. What must I do? I said, the first thing you have to do is repent and tell your wife. And he told his wife and she walked out. He's one of my best friends. He walked out on him, but he's been living a life for 20 years. And he said, Rory, what must I do now? I said, Hebrews chapter 7 says that my high priest is able to save you completely. He will get to the bottom of it. I don't know if he'll save his marriage, but he'll get to the bottom of his lying, deceptive ways, and he will set him free. At least he will live with a clear conscience. So when you read about blue, purple, and scarlet yarn and bells and pomegranates, it's not just some kind of embroidered dress. It is the power that entered into the Holy of Holies so that you and I can have one who's sympathetic towards us and one who can save us completely. Depth, length, height, breadth, darkness, destruction, distraught, debauched, whatever it might be, he is able to save completely. And when people walk into this church, I said to this lady, this Eunisa lady, she said, so what kind of a church are you actually building? I said, I'm building a church with a group of friends where sinners will hear Jesus, the good news, and will set them free from the darkness that has plagued them for decades. Number three. Chapter 9 and verse 14. How much more then will the blood of Christ, what goes, let's go to verse 11. When Christ came as high priest, say high priest, turban, my name on his forehead, my name on his shoulders, my name on his chest, belt. When he came, verse 14 says, how much more then will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal spirit offered himself unblemished to God, cleanse our consciences from acts that lead to death. Say, cleanse our consciences. How many of you battle with your conscience? Put your hand up. Hi. 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 Put it up high. I can tell you about my weeing. You can tell me about your conscience. Now keep it up high. You see, friends, if we understand the high priest, our conscience gets cleansed. And when you toss and turn at night, you just got to take the scripture and say, I'm going to follow him in. And we don't just follow him, he faces us. And when he faces us, I see my name on top there, holy to the Lord. And you think, God, but I've done this holy to the Lord. Holy to the Lord. And when many people walk into my office, they walk with their heads down like this. And they say, Rory, you don't know what I've done. And the very first thing is I do, I take my hand under their chin and I lift it up like this. I say, lift your head up because he's cleaned your dirty conscience. He's cleaned it. And I pray every one of you, put your hands up, 50% of you, when you walk out here today, you leave your dirty conscience behind. Because the great high priest is making music and he's got fruit and he's got your name very close to every part of his body. And we finish with this. And I think I'm going to make the time. Chapter 10. And verse 11. Day after day. Say day after day.
Day after day.
Day after day. Say it again, day after day. This is religion. This grips Pretoria. Day after day, every priest stands and performs his religious duties again and again. Say again and again. Again and again. When you watch pornography, you think, well, I just have to go to church 6 weeks in a row. God, I promise you, I'll go 6 weeks in a row just to clean my conscience. You don't have to. Jesus will clean your conscience. You don't have to offer sacrifices again and again and again, day after day after day. Jesus has done it once and for all. Amen. Be free. Amen. Day after day, every priest stands and performs his religious duties again and again. He offers the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But when this priest had offered for all time one sacrifice for sins, he sat down at the right hand of God. Bang, finished, sit down. And Ephesians chapter 2 verse 16 says, 6 says this, I was once dead in my transgressions. Sweetie, why don't you just lie down there? Just because everybody says I pick on Dennis. Just lie down. It says, I was once dead in my transgressions. No life in me, no power, no hope, but because Christ showed me mercy, why don't you stand? Sit. Come sit here. It says, because Christ opened me mercy, I'm now seated with him in heavenly places.
Amen.
Church, this is where I'm seated. Next to the high priest who offered it once and for all. He's not pacing up and down. When you watch porno, Jesus doesn't get off his seat and pace up and down. He's seated once and for all. Your past sin, your future sin, your present sin.
Amen.
And when he turns to you, on his forehead it says, Holy to the Lord. And when you look at his shoulders, your name is engraved on his shoulders. And when he turns to embrace you, the only thing that gets between you and him is your name. And this place can be taken by nobody else. No priest, no elder, no dominie, no pastor. This place belongs to Jesus. And if we understand this, we will become mature in Christ and find a peace that we all need to live in. In Jesus' name, amen.